This is Christoph Kassoon, and you're listening to Navigating Diversity, where we explore how human beings differ, yet can find ways to relate to one another in an increasingly xenophobic socio-political climate. Today, I am joined by Julie Raymond, a doctoral student in political science at Idaho State. Hi, Julie.
Hi, Christoph.
How are you doing?
Fabulous.
Good, good. So I realize I didn't even tell you this, but this is our first episode of Navigating Diversity 2.0.
Wow.
Yes.
I feel so honored.
Thank you. So, I spoke to, our boss, Jamin, in the studio, and I really wanted to have more time to explain and explore some of these topics that we've been covering on Navigating Diversity so far.
Yeah.
And I think the 10-minute slot that we had on Friday mornings was great, and it got people engaged and aware of what was going on. But I really feel like we're at a point now in the show where I would just want to expand it.
Okay.
And just kind of get a little more in-depth on issues and topics and
sure.
Just be able to tell more stories and relate it to own personal experiences even more, right?
Right, yeah.
Yeah. So I'm not exactly sure when this will air.
That's okay.
We're still figuring out the new time slot, but if you're listening to it right now, we figured it out. So thank you for listening to our new time slot. This will be ND 2.0 from now on.
Yeah.
And today I really want to talk about coronavirus.
Okay.
Yeah.
Bring
so
it on.
Today is the 12th of March.
Yes.
Right. I feel like yesterday, which was the 11th of March, was a turning point. Do you feel that way?
In terms of the virus?
Yes.
Well, certainly the closing of Italy got my attention.
That one kind of did it for you, Ant.
Yeah.
I hadn't been as worried up until yesterday. I think I went to class yesterday and my professor, Dr. Warnament, who studies emergencies and disaster management, she was telling us, ISU is probably going to switch to online classes here soon before spring break, after spring break. A lot of other universities are doing that. And it just became very real. I think yesterday was the first day I really saw coronavirus starting to impact my day-to-day existence.
Yes.
Yeah. Do you feel that way?
I think it definitely should be impacting our day-to-day existence.
Agreed.
I mean, if we don't want to get sick, right?
Mm-hmm,
we want to limit exposure to that risk for as many people as possible. And that certainly means being preemptive, not reactionary in terms of after the fact.
Exactly.
But instead planning ahead.
Yeah, planning ahead is super, super important.
Right.
Yeah. With the coronavirus situation, and this is kind of how I think about it in terms of a diversity issue, we're seeing certain groups, marginalized groups, being targeted for the virus, right? So there was kind of a trend that Asians or anybody who looked Asian, because the virus started in China,
right.
were
okay,
kind of being treated in a certain type of way.
Right.
And I don't think that's entirely different from how other diseases have played out in human history.
Mm-hmm.
I know when Ebola came out, which kind of had an Africa focus, there was also kind of a spike in, I guess, social distancing from, Africans or people who look like Africans.
Okay.
And that's a little concerning to me. Just for us to kind of stereotype one group as being the carriers of a disease, I think is kind of destructive. So I wanna try and understand why coronavirus is happening from the standpoint of what is this teaching humanity?
A philosophical approach.
Yeah, why? Because so many people, are so scared and so it's just such a huge time of uncertainty.
Right.
We don't even know really what the virus is yet. We don't really know how to combat it. We have no idea why it's pretty much leaving children virtually untouched. And I think the scientists are saying that might be a clue to how we can
fight it.
Mm-hmm. So why is this happening? What are we supposed to learn? Is this trying to make us learn to care for each other even more? In a time where it's the easy thing to do is to treat each other bad. Close my borders. I'm going to close my country from you. You can't get in because you're going to make me sick. As I said, with the racial stereotyping, the fighting for resources, it's already starting. Like supermarkets and like grocery stores are being like wiped out of like basic supplies.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's a moment when we all kind of take a step back and realize coronavirus is affecting all human beings. And we have to think about this from a human perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, as far as the resources go, when the virus became, when it was apparent that it was spreading very quickly, and the U.S. Became aware that we had it coming to our shores already. There were probably undiscovered cases, of course, because if you have people with symptoms that you can diagnose, that means that they've been shedding the virus in their daily life.
Right. Right? It's been
so
spreading,
there's people that don't know that they have it. But there was news stories, and I think these were CDC recommendations that people should expect significant disruption in services.
Yes.
So I think that's why people began to think ahead about what would it mean if my family was quarantined. And toilet paper seems to be the target of people's humor, but I mean, it is a
necessity.
A necessity
in 2020, for sure.
Yeah, it's a necessity. And so I think I don't have actually an objection to people preparing personally.
Yes.
I think it's the responsible thing to do if
to
you
prepare.
Have people that whose lives depend on your choices.
100%.
Yeah,
I fully agree. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was reading something and it was saying, so the big items, toilet paper, like bottled water, even distilled water has been like falling off the shelves.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you know this, but distilled water is not drinkable.
No, I know that. I'm fully aware.
In the community. Yeah. So unless like you have a CPAP machine or a particular device that requires distilled water, please leave it for the people who need it.
Or you're sanitizing something.
Thank you.
Yeah, the body. Yeah.
Everybody was buying up all these surgical masks.
Yeah.
And I read
That's
something.
That's because all the news stories showed people walking around with those on.
With
I think people
masks.
Were... mirroring what they were seeing, precautions that other people were already taking.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, but a lot of the research is saying the masks that people are buying is ineffective against corona.
Apparently,
because the masks people are buying it can't stop liquid from being transmitted.
Yeah.
And coronavirus is spread through droplets.
Yeah.
You know,
isn't
coughs, sneezes, right? It's water that's
Keep
carrying
your droplets, please.
Keep your droplets. You know, like, I 100% understand people wanting to prepare and stuff, but be thoughtful. Don't just go crazy buying up all these things that you don't need and you're putting other people in danger. Like, doctors don't even they can't even get enough surgical masks now because they're all gone.
Well, I mean, I think that's the entire point of the epidemic is that it's going to strain things that aren't normally strained.
Right.
Yeah.
True.
So normally if you go buy a bunch of toilet paper for your family, nobody notices. But now a bunch of people want toilet paper. And, you know, as people become infected and need hospital care, our medical system is going to definitely feel that pressure. And I just want to circle back to the philosophical questions you were asking at the beginning.
Yes, please.
I don't know.
What
this is teaching us, I think, in retrospect, we may be able to ascertain some of that.
Yeah.
But certainly, I do see our nation making different choices than other first world nations or other nations that are being led by experts.
Right.
In their decision making. So that is concerning to me.
I think what's more concerning to me is the government's response.
Right.
As opposed to the virus itself. Yeah. I got you. I'm right there with you.
It's because we have so many brilliant, highly educated professionals in our country.
Mm-hmm.
People who have spent their entire lives studying transmission of viruses, pandemics, epidemiology. I mean, it's not like we don't have the capacity scientifically and intellectually to address it.
Absolutely.
But we do seem to be lacking the political will for transparency right now.
Yes.
And that is very worrying to me.
Very, very worrying. Yeah. You know, there's certainly not enough testing kits in Idaho or other parts of the U.S.
Right.
Idaho currently doesn't have any confirmed cases, but every single state surrounding it has, which obviously means it's here.
Yeah, it's here. We just don't know.
We just don't know. And there's a number of reasons for that, right? People, rural area, people don't have access to healthcare.
Right.
People can get tested. People have it and probably don't even know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because these symptoms take some time to show up too.
Right, yeah.
So I guess we just all have to be very wary of social distance. I think Dr. Waterman said social distancing is probably the best thing we can do.
Mm-hmm.
And just to clarify what that means, it just pretty much means, you know, maintain a sense of like personal space, personal boundaries. Don't go into like huge groups of people, big events, being in crowded public spaces, and probably not a good idea right now. Self-quarantining if you start to feel sick the second you get signs of symptoms, go to the doctor. It is treatable. right?
Right.
It also is fatal to some people, but a lot of people are recovering. I think I saw today, was it in Italy? They said 600,000 have recovered already.
Yeah,
if that much,
also
I don't know.
Lost
a lot of people.
A lot of people.
Yeah, I think about 1,000. That's was the toll today.
I don't know what the total was today.
Yeah, but it's rapidly escalating.
Yeah,
and this is the interesting thing too, that so Dr. Colin Johnson, and we both have class with him, human security.
Uh-huh.
So he addressed it in class today, and he was saying that different populations with different demographics are being affected differently by coronavirus. So in South Korea, you're seeing a lot more people getting sick but not dying because they have more of a younger skewed population, whereas in Italy, which has an older population, you're obviously going to get more fatalities, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just by the nature, which is also so crazy because how do you even respond to something that discriminates in how it affects humans?
But that's why you need your experts in your country
to
be guiding decision-making. He also said that what I found interesting is that while South Korea is not experiencing as many fatalities, the people that are sick are staying sicker longer.
Longer, yes.
So that's pretty fascinating, too. So that's an interesting question. Why is that happening?
Yeah, why are they not recovering as fast? Yeah.
And the worrying thing, too, is that even after you feel better and you've gotten through the virus, you're still shedding the virus for 5 weeks.
True, you're still contagious.
I mean, that's just astonishing to me. Usually, we're accustomed to, generally, once your symptoms disappear, or even in the midst of your symptoms,
you
stop shedding the virus.
Uh-huh.
But that's not the case with this one.
That's not the case.
Yeah.
It's sneaky. Coronavirus
sneaky
is shifty, shifty.
Right.
And so, my thoughts are, it's hard to even try to conceptualize, like, as we said, the uncertainty.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a massive, massive time of uncertainty.
Well, I think in our country right now, this is just my perception as a layperson observing our political conditions right now, but it just seems to me that there's so much division and distrust that having... not being able to not having transparency at the federal level about what the plans are with this actually makes it worse. And in terms of what choices people make and whether or not they take it seriously.
Right.
So really,
that's the other thing too. Yeah. Even up to today, I'm scrolling on Twitter and people are still like talking about how they're not worried.
I know.
You know what I'm saying? And I'm like, not worried. What world are you living in?
It's 10 times more deadly than the flu.
Exactly.
And everybody keeps quoting the flu like
as the flu is more deadly.
No, like as if that normalizes coronavirus.
True.
Yeah. Like,
yeah.
Hey, we die from the flu too. So what's the big deal?
Yeah.
You know?
The big deal is that coronavirus is brand new and we have no idea how to respond to it. The flu, we figure that out. We know what we're doing with the flu.
Right.
This is
not the flu.
This is unprecedented.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point to make. Yeah.
Yeah. Strange.
I've heard people say things like, especially young people, they're like, oh, well, it isn't affecting young people and tickets are cheap to go travel. So let's go travel and have a good time and ride this out. And I'm like, you might not die, but you will become a carrier.
That's right.
You will become a carrier and carrying the disease and allowing yourself to become exposed to it when you could simply have done basic hygiene and basic measures like social distancing to prevent yourself from becoming a carrier.
Washing
your hands. Don't touch your face. Mm-hmm. Basic things we've known. You're going to spread that to vulnerable populations. You're going to spread that to our parents. You're going to spread it to our grandparents.
Right.
You're going to spread it to our teachers and the people in government who is trying to distribute resources. You're going to spread it to people who matter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I don't know about you all young people, and I love our generation and I think they're great and I love them, but I'm not ready for a world where we have to run the show. I'm not. We're not there yet.
No.
I feel like we're on the verge of some kind of post-apocalyptic future where there are no adults.
Really?
You know, and you look around and it's like, what do we do?
Well, let's together right now imagine a positive outcome.
Yes, please.
Yes, where you're less lonely and frightened.
Right?
And lacking leadership. I totally... I have the greatest respect for our elders.
Yeah.
Greatest respect of anyone, but I mean, like, I do highly prioritize their wisdom and what they've learned throughout their lifetime. I absolutely relish them, and I really wish that, just generally speaking, as a culture, we held them in higher regard, that we weren't threatening things like Social Security, which they've earned already, and I've paid into my whole life, by the way, thinking that this collective national mutual fund is going to pay out for me when I'm older. So I don't know.
Yeah, I fully agree. I think this kind of
why not protect them as much as we can by doing the things that we can to stay uninfected.
Exactly.
Is
to
that
stay
the right
healthy.
Word?
Yeah, I
don't know.
It is now. Yeah.
Yeah.
I fully agree. I think everybody has an obligation to do what you can to prevent this thing from spreading.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because you look at the case of Italy. Mm-hmm. Italy responded well, in my opinion. They were on top of it. The first signs of cases, they were quarantining, they were testing, they were doing everything in their power to control it, much better than the US government is currently doing. And still, it got so bad.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and no countries. I mean, like, Germany's affected. I mean, there's a number of countries that are affected. I mean... It travels. That's the whole point.
That's the whole
point.
It
travels.
Yeah. And that's just another interesting angle to look at it too, you know, just like climate change, just like terrorism, just like all these other transnational issues, right? We're living in a post-nation state world, right? Borders are breaking down.
Yeah.
Coronavirus does not care about borders.
No.
It does not care that you're America and I'm Trinidad. It does not care how much water is between us. And it will find a host anywhere it can. Right?
Yeah.
So we also have to kind of remember that too.
Yeah. I don't know if that's biologically, technically the right language. Yeah. But viruses are looking for your cells to reproduce.
Exactly. To get stronger and stronger.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I've heard some people say, you know, now that it's getting a little bit warmer, that is supposed to help, I guess, viruses are less viable in the heat.
But it's not going to go away.
It's not. It's going to probably come back stronger when it gets cold again, right?
That's what happened with the
Spanish
flu.
Amen.
Yeah. Other viruses have thrived the second time around.
Exactly.
Yeah, they sort of kind of go dormant or something. I don't know, in the heat. And
And then they kind of come back.
Hello,
come back,
I'm
swinging.
Back.
And it's like, shoot.
Yeah.
No, we need a vaccine 2.0.
Yeah, vaccine would be interesting, right? But all the closures right now are pretty, that's a little bit,
out there.
Yeah, you start thinking about that.
Basketball.
The country of Norway closed today.
They closed, The NBA canceled the rest of its season.
The UN isn't, UNFCCC, the climate body is not holding any meetings right now.
Nope, most academic conferences have canceled.
My academic conference was canceled.
Right,
So
many universities are going to switch to online. How do you feel about that?
I think it's the right thing to do.
Okay.
I have an acquaintance or someone in my personal network that is from Chicago, and they have told their students they're not closing under any circumstances, and if they don't come to class, they're not going to pass.
Wow.
So that's a pretty... That's pretty bad coercion.
Yeah, that's
to
bad
keep
policy.
People showing up, and I don't know what you do when you're... If your students start, 30% of your student population starts to get sick.
Right. But then all of your students will get sick.
Yeah, I don't know. Because they're saying 30% of the population, right, is likely to be ill.
Ill, yeah. Yeah. So,
but that changes too. So any facts and figures that I'm quoting, be aware that they're just disseminated through the news. I'm not an expert.
Yeah, and they're pretty contextual on these circumstances. Absolutely. Yeah, I think the move to online is, you know, a good one, given these current circumstances. As I said, the only way to stop coronavirus that we know right now is social distancing.
Yeah.
It's all about containing it. It's all about separating yourself from people who could have it or giving it to people if you have it.
Yeah.
There are some downsides to the online situation. Like Harvard was really criticized for basically just telling their students, you have 48 hours to get out. And
you mean resident students?
Yeah. Like students living in the dorms.
I was wondering about that today, how they'll handle that, because it's basically living in a dorm. Just from my perspective, I don't live in a dorm. I live off campus. But it would. How do you like make that much difference than a cruise ship?
True. With all those people packed in there using the same restrooms.
Everyone's using the same dining room.
Eating in the same dining room. Yeah. It'll be a lot easier. Yeah. It'll probably that'll be a hub for infection.
I would say if you can, do go home.
I would say so. If
but
you can.
I'm not an expert.
Right. And that's a privilege to
her. Expert.
I saw a tweet from somebody, and she said something along the lines of, how do I tell my parents school is closed, but I'm not coming home because it drives me insane when I go home. You know, like being back around your parents and, you know. And in my head, I was
like, call your grandma and ask.
Right. I was like, what a privilege you have of even having a home to go home to.
Right.
Like, I think of my international students living in the dorms and living on campus. Like, we don't have anywhere to
go. If
ISU shuts down tomorrow and tells everybody, you can't be here anymore. Where are they going? We can't even travel right now. We can't even get back to our country.
That's right.
Right? So what do you do?
But they'll leave the dining rooms open, right? I mean, they'll have to make it accessible.
I think what somebody was saying in class today was basic services would have to be continued to be given at ISU. Yeah. So food, pharmacy, that kind of stuff. But most of everything else is probably most likely going to be closed if the university does decide to go this route.
Yeah.
We still don't know.
Right.
Yeah.
I think we can trust the university to come up with something that's humane and logical in terms of containing the virus. I think they want to win at this.
Yeah,
obviously they 100%. Want this to go away because we want to resume operations normally as soon as possible.
Yeah,
I don't know what that looks like.
Right,
but, you know, I'd love to be a fly on the wall and hear the conversation.
Yeah, that
would be fun.
Yeah, but
in terms of learning. Yeah.
Right. So, yeah, my hope is, you know, whatever decision is made is equitable. And
it will be.
It kind of considers, you know, all the different marginalized populations. And
it will be.
Right. Yeah. And today, Dr. Johnson was talking about, you know, it's such a difficult thing when you have to make decisions like this, because how much are you willing to disrupt the social economic order in order to prevent something like this? You know, and will the disruption, the social economic disruption, cause even more harm? And I hadn't really thought about it that way before.
Well, Italy seems to be managing that. They've made it so that mortgage payments aren't due.
Right.
Credit card payments aren't due.
I saw that.
So they're relieving the debtor and the creditor of the responsibility of collecting the money.
Yeah.
So if you have any money at home, you know, or in your accounts, you don't have to worry about going to work to...
Right.
To make it. I mean, I'm in that situation. I'm a student. I have a job that's nearly full time, and I can't afford to miss a day because I have to make tuition payments still for this semester that I'm in.
Right.
Yeah. So it's just very real. Like, staying home, that's honestly the scariest part of this virus for me.
Me too.
Is that I may not be able to earn my living and pay my tuition payments.
Exactly.
That threat is more salient to me than the virus itself.
The virus itself. Yeah. Yeah, it's the social disruption.
Yeah.
I fully agree. Yeah.
The monetary thing is what's scariest to me.
Yeah.
But it's because I don't have another
option.
Yeah. I don't have another immediate option to draw on to cover that for me.
Right.
Yeah.
And I know everybody's like doing this whole switch to working from home.
Yeah.
That is a privilege also.
I cannot
Some
do
of
that.
Our jobs, we cannot work from home. It does
My
not
job
work
will
that
not
way.
Do that.
Yeah. No, I can't just sit on my couch on my laptop
That is interesting because, and also the strain on our internet systems, you know, on our electronic platforms, they're not prepared for this.
Nope.
For this kind of traffic.
Agreed. I mean, yeah, you're going to have to get
all universities
bigger servers.
To suddenly migrate to
online,
you know, Zoom or something.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, God,
what
yeah.
What is that?
That's going to be...
I've done major things on, you know, with groups on Zoom before. It's a great platform. I don't know if it's prepared for, you know, 47,000 students from one university, much less all over the country.
All over the country, true.
The list is astonishing of the universities that are, I take my hat off to them because they could say, you know, sorry, you're coming to class. We're holding class no matter what. We don't care how sick you are.
Yeah.
If you don't come to class, you don't pass. I just find that completely irrational.
I fully agree.
Yeah, that is irrational in my view.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
No.
Yeah.
I don't see how they plan to win with that strategy.
Same. It's kind of like, we're just going to pretend like this isn't happening.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's the exact opposite.
I love that sarcastic laugh. Good times.
Yeah. Cool. You know, on today in class, I brought up also the mental health aspect.
I was hoping you would bring that up.
Yeah. You know, and I completely agree with you about the economic aspect, right? But I mean, like, what will it look like when we have less structure nowadays? when we're just stuck at home and you're quarantined and you go outside and it's a ghost town, what does that do to a person?
Yeah, the ghost town part is a little more unsettling to me than
it's kind of insidious,
alone in
right?
my own house.
Right?
We all have projects at home that we
true.
Want to do that we haven't gotten to. You
yeah.
know? I think the thing is not to, I mean, this is just my view. So everyone needs to mm-hmm. analyze their own life and figure out what's right for them.
100%.
But don't become a Netflix junkie. Like you,
yeah.
you have to get up and move and
yeah.
do things and be engaged. Let your mind do something
yeah.
besides sit there and stir.
Work out a little bit if
yeah.
you can.
And also don't do too much social media because that's like mental neutral.
True.
Like you're in neutral.
Uh-huh.
And I don't think when we're laying on our couch looking at our phone that we're actually thinking very critically.
No.
And it kind of just passes in like entertainment and out.
It's like white noise.
Yeah. Mm. But the white noise has meaning
mm-hmm.
and we can get confused and depressed.
True. I 100% feel
from
the effects.
Those influences. So.
Yeah.
And we have our phones work. I mean, reach out to your friends, call them,
yeah.
be supportive.
FaceTime, check in with your
yeah.
people,
mm-hmm.
make sure you know you love them
yeah.
and you know you care about their well-being and
mm-hmm.
yeah. So
be sensible.
Be sensible, 100%. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think what you said was really important. Everybody kind of has to take a step back and evaluate what does this mean for my life?
Yeah.
And how am I as a person going to meet my responsibility to the other humans
right.
to prevent
yeah.
this thing from getting worse?
Right.
And to myself to like make it through this and be okay? Because you will, we will, we have to. Right?
Well, I'm definitely going to
try.
Yeah, this isn't
yeah.
going to take me down.
Amen.
I mean, like, I'm not saying the virus. I may get sick. I don't know.
Yeah.
I can't control that. I hope that I would survive it.
I hope so, too.
I hope that everyone I know would survive it.
Me, too.
Know?
Me, too.
I don't think it's a joking matter to say, you know, I hope somebody gets sick or something. I've heard some of that going around.
Mm.
That's just completely...
That's just horrible.
Profoundly
don't,
distasteful.
Don't put that kind of karma
yeah.
out there. Yeah.
But I'm not going to... And I think most people probably have their, you know... They're back up, and we're gonna
right.
We're gonna make it
right. Another aspect
and
of this,
we just need to figure out our own strategies to make it.
Yeah, 100%. Right, what makes sense for our lives
mm-hmm.
and for our communities.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was even talking to my mom last night, and so this is also part of this whole thing that's scary for me as an international student.
Right, go for it. Tell me.
All of the people I love are trapped on a tiny island in the Caribbean.
Yes.
And if it did get to Trinidad, which it probably is already there, honestly, if I'm going to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
No
so
confirmed
many travelers.
Cases as yet, but, mm-hmm. you know, Carnival was a few weeks ago. Tons of tourists came. It's so possible it's there already. And
right.
it will spread so fast. And, you know, my parents are early 60s. And I'm here.
Yes.
And what do I even do if one of them got, like, really sick or somebody I really loved back home got really sick and I won't even be able to go home and see them? You know, it's
that
just...
That is terrifying.
Yeah,
yeah,
it's just, it's really strange. Like, you really, like, look at your life and you wake up one day and you're like, damn, my family's nowhere near me and we're going through a pandemic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the hospital services there are equipped for
no,
this kind of...
I wouldn't say so. I don't feel confident
mm-hmm.
in the healthcare system back home. That I don't feel pretty confident in the healthcare system in the U.S.
I was just
right?
thinking, you know, like, I don't know about you down here in Pocatello, but in Idaho Falls, everyone has to check in now at
yeah?
the emergency door.
Yeah.
And they're testing everyone before they come in the hospital
that's
for the virus.
Really, really good.
Yeah, to protect the healthcare workers. I mean,
right?
I think that's
yes,
like a...
Right, yes, the healthcare workers.
That's part of the disconnect with this virus that I don't understand, and maybe it's just multiple re-exposures to it, but the healthcare workers that have died from it are all young.
Interesting.
So we're assigning mortality
uh-huh.
to the elderly, but the healthcare workers have all been
young.
So maybe it's being exposed over and over again.
Maybe.
And I saw a video today, which I cannot...
mm-hmm.
You know, I obviously can't authenticate it because it was on social media, but it was an Iranian nurse.
Okay.
And she was talking about how devastating the virus has been in her country.
Uh-huh.
And that she'd lost many, many patients. I think 100, but I don't want to confirm that.
Yeah.
In just the day before, and she was emotionally overwhelmed. And so
my
I don't...
God.
Yeah, it is, in a way, it is taking on that Stephen King kind of, tale. But again, if we work together as a society, that might be the lesson
yeah.
going into it. That
100%.
We actually aren't islands. We're interconnected. interconnected individuals.
Amen.
And we're always crossing each other's paths and sharing
always.
Space and
yeah.
an economy, a country, a county, a household.
Resources, yeah. everything, mm-hmm. everything.
Yeah, our resources. Just think about that. I mean, where does your food come from?
Thank you.
You know,
where does all
where
your
food?
Luxury
yeah,
items?
Thankfully, I looked it up. My toilet paper comes from Pittsburgh.
Nice.
I picked it up when everyone was talking about
it,
just to see where the manufacturer is. But
yeah.
I mean, you get what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like we're a society, a global society.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Where we exchange goods mm-hmm. all the time, and coronavirus
yeah.
can stay on a surface for
3 days.
I think so.
Yeah.
And you can pick it up. That's why a lot of it is being transmitted through
yeah.
surfaces.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I just want you guys to take away from the show that you're not alone.
No, you're not alone.
Many other people are also very anxious about mm-hmm. this, and we live in a great time of uncertainty right now.
Don't you think that's the appropriate emotional response, though, to be like...
I agree.
Invisible bugs.
Yeah. That is, yeah, 100% yeah. something you should kind of think about. And, mm-hmm. you know, kind of going back to that first question I posed at the beginning, the philosophical question.
Yeah.
What is this teaching humanity? And probably my best answer, my best guess right now is if we can learn to love and care for each other, even in a time when it seems like that's a bad idea... Right? Because it can spread more and more.
Yeah.
If we can figure out how to do that, I think yeah. we've won the game.
Yeah. Avoid every man for himself thinking.
Yeah. We need to. We can't go there. That will not end well. We have to find a way to do this in a way and keep love at the center of our thoughts. Everything we do, we're doing it because we love ourselves and we love other human beings and we want all of humans to survive this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't just want my family to survive. I don't just want my friends to survive. I want all of us to survive.
I love that.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So, yeah, we like
That's
that?
That's powerful.
Sweet.
Absolutely.
And
high five. Slapping.
Thank you. Yes. So, see you guys out there. We're here for you. We can do this. Keep
yeah.
your head down. Be informed. Stay up to date. Talk to your friends. Look out for them.
Yes.
And,
yeah, check in regularly.
Check in regularly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. So thank you so much, Julie, for
yeah,
being here
welcome.
Today. Thank you.
Good times.
Take care, Julie.
You too.
Navigating Diversity is a weekly series on KISU-FM. You can find all episodes and more information at kisu.org/programs/navigatingdiversity.